I better put some like pretty awesome music behind this, right?
Certain things get me excited.
You're listening to Farm Status, your favorite Rift podcast.
And I got a little excited.
Oh my god. I'm not gonna end this. No.
And then yeah. 3 hours go by and you finally look at the clock and you're like, oh my god. What is up, everybody? This is Farm Status, episode 17th, recorded live here. It is the 24th of June, 2012, a beautiful Sunday night here in Northern California. I am Josh, and I am joined by my two co-hosts, as always, week in and week out, all through all 17 episodes now, Chris and Trevor. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing
awesome.
Oh, both you guys speedy tonight. I like it.
That's only all right. Once, so this is
this is episode 17. Apologies again. Last week I was actually moving, so we just couldn't get everything out. But we're back, and hopefully I said this 2 weeks ago, but hopefully we're back and good to go for the next long, long while. A couple little things here. If you hear anything on the show that you would like to give us any kind of feedback on, right? You can email us farmstatuspodcast@gmail.com. Or you can shoot us a tweet on Twitter. We are at Farm Status Rift, and we are on Facebook. Just go facebook.com/farmstatuspodcast. And make sure if you guys donate to Farm Status, which you can now do, if you donate $2 or more, you can get a blurb on the show. So if it's a guild recruitment message, just a shout out to yourself, to your friends, whatever it is. The link is on the Podomatic page. So if you donate $2 or more, you can get a shout out on the show. Alright guys, so it's been 2 weeks now since we recorded last. What have you been doing in Rift?
I've been raiding with you, buddy.
Sounds lovely.
I know, right? So I finally got Trevor back in my guild. Finally, I had to freaking poke and prod him, but I finally got it. And so it's been nice actually having a really, really friendly face I've known for 6 months now in the guild. So, welcome.
Yeah, thanks Ben. It's been a lot of fun. It's just like old times.
Yeah, and your OP rogue tankness tanking everything for us.
Well, obviously. I mean, that kind of goes without saying.
And then, Chris, how's your guys' progress on Lathius going?
It's going well. So, as we predicted last week, said we were going to kill it on the lockout, and we did. So, we're now sitting 7 of 8 and doing pulls on Maleforge, which has been nice. This week threw us for a little bit of a curveball on Thursday when all the Lathius bugs were out. So it's really fun to be in P2 Lathius with all of the mounds still up LOSing everyone from their healers. So it's,
no, that's
it's
just hard
pretty
mode.
Interesting. That's true. Yeah, that's like working as intended, I guess. If we had killed it like that, I guess we should have seen tons of relics, right?
Yes.
No, just achievements.
Relics, actually.
Yeah, so that's what we've been up to, and just prepping for new releases, you know, getting ready to try and do a little bit of a race in the new 10-man and all that good stuff.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot more on that. This is kind of the 1.9 show. I know we record this on Sunday. It's typically released on Monday, so by the time you guys are listening out there, hopefully have a couple days buffer between when Farm Status Episode 17 is released and 1.9 drops here in a couple days. Anyway, this is our 1.9 show. If you guys have been listening for any length of time, you know that we typically do a 1.9 preview and then kind of a 1.9, you know, what we kind of think after everything's been out there and we've been able to play it for a couple days. And this is the kind of preview show, right? So let's just hop right in there, guys. PvP is getting 10 more ranks. So now you can go from rank 40 to rank 50. And there is subsequent gear bumps, right? There's a whole new rank 50, gear set, scheme, whatever you want to call it. Pretty big stat bumps, right, guys? I don't know if you guys have taken any time out to go look at the new stats, but I mean, they're borderline between HK and ID, all the new rank 50 things. You know, what kind of impact are we going to see this new gear have on PvE side of things?
Well, I mean, I think it'll be interesting, but I think they learned their lesson in HK, right? So all the rank 8, now rank 40 gear was like super OP, and they introduced Vengeance to compensate for the fact that you have, you know, certain boosts that were only available to you when you were PvPing. And I don't think they're going to make that mistake this time. I think what they originally had on test, you know, was just that the test gear with proper spell powers, they could make comparisons to live gear. And then in the end, they're just going to sort of chop all those spell power bonuses and everything in half and put half of it in Vengeance. I think it'll be okay, but it's nice. I mean, you know, now the PvPers won't be getting destroyed by people with Relic ID weapons.
There was a pretty huge talk, right, when the new rank 50 weapons and rings and everything had focus and hit on it, right? And that was just a huge butting of heads between the PvP community and the PvE community. That has actually been removed, but right, it's kind of been bounced back and forth, adding hit and focus and then subtracting hit and focus and then adding and then subtracting. And I think right now, as of this recording, there is no hit and focus on PvP weapons. You guys, I mean, is that okay? I mean, should there be hit and focus on PvP weapons? You know, maybe kind of give a little boon to all those hardcore PvPers who are also in their PvE 20-man raid, you know, the ability to use their hard-earned weapons, or should PvP stay in the war fronts and in conquest mode, and should the PvE weapons stay in PvP and not have, you know, kind of that OP-ness you just talked about, you know, relic weapons just owning in PvP, you know, should they be separate, or should there be some kind of coming together between both PvP weapons and gear and then PvE weapons and gear?
My personal opinion, they should be kept separate, because the thing that separates PvP from PvE is, of course, the stat that reduces the damage that you take in PvP, which you can only get by PvPing. You can't get that from PvE. So I don't think you should allow any PvPers to get any sort of benefit for PvE content when it doesn't work both ways.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point to have it. So, you know, there is a, you know, a one-way barrier right now, right? So, yeah, you can't gain Valor gear unless you PvP. And I think there should be an equivalency going the other way. Although, just from, like, a competitive rating standpoint, it just sort of doesn't even faze me, because I'll just, you know, sort of look at the field of play out there, and whatever needs to happen to be the best that you can be and just be competitive, I'll do that thing. So I'd like to not have to PvP in order to be the best in the raid, but, you know, if that's something I have to do, then that's fine. Although I think they've really solved that problem by just introducing high-level crafted weapons. Because, like I was saying before, you know, it is kind of a big deal, you know, that if you have a PvP weapon with 65 hit, that's kind of imbalanced, because somebody could have that without even walking into ID. But the same is true for the crafted weapons. I mean, best in slot, one-handed warrior, and like sort of cleric and mage weapons are crafted right now. And nobody's really raising a big stink about that, because you have to get the crafted items from ID, but they're not soulbound or anything like that. So, you know, anybody can get these weapons, and nobody seems to care much about that. So I think in the long run, it's really not that big of a deal if one or two pieces can make the crossover. But if, you know, like Trevor was saying, a whole set of equipment can make the crossover, that's sort of a different story. You don't want to reward someone. You don't want to take the exclusive rewards of the raiding community, you know, weapons and gear, away from them, since they have no access to the sort of status of PvP gear that PvPers have. You know, you can't make it this sort of one-way barrier that only PvPers can break through the barrier, but PvE players can't break into PvP without going through the slog. Something that I'm, exactly, like, very familiar with right now as I'm trying to grind 40 before Wednesday. You know, it's just, it's, yeah, it's really, you know, yeah, no sort of double standard. I agree, Trevor.
And kind of speaking about getting into PvP stuff, the prices, all the favor, or not favor, but all the, yeah, favor or prestige, whatever, the actual currency that you use to purchase the initial and the following tiers of PvP gear has actually been bumped up. From the first tier, used to be about 16,000 for just the basic, you know, gloves and waistband or whatever. And that's actually up to almost 30,000 now. The stats have also been bumped up a little bit, but just getting into PvP, it seems like it's going to be a huge bump, right? Trying to get 30,000 favor, for your first PvP piece. I mean, I can see why they're having to do this, right? Because of the whole gear treadmill, right? As you get higher end stuff, the lower tier stuff kind of becomes obsolete. But for a brand new 50, having to grind out, you know, say a 200,000 favor for a full set of just tier 1 PvP gear, I mean, that's a lot of war fronts. I mean, that's a lot of hours killing people? You know, like, I mean, should they have kept the prices the same? Maybe you found a nice sweet spot in there somewhere? Or are you guys all for this huge bump up just for the initial PvP tier of gear?
I mean, it's like you said, they're sort of just artificially increasing the life of the PvP scene so that they can introduce more content, you know, before everyone just reaches a cap and becomes bored, you know, when they reach the new rank, the highest rank, whatever, which I guess is 50 now. So in order to do that, of course, they just, like you said, make the treadmill just last a little bit longer. But of course, the problem is that whenever people are just trying to get into it, they're going to sort of be defeated by, you know, these goals that are ahead of them because it's just going to take so long. I think people are just going to give up. But I think maybe they need to adjust the scale. Like, maybe don't increase it so much at the beginning, but sort of increase the brunt of it towards the end. That way the people that are already at the top have it a little bit harder because, you know, they've been there for a while. They've been grinding it. I think they'd be more incentivized to keep going as opposed to the people that have never PvP before. They're just getting into it. And it's like, holy crap, I have to do all of this just for one piece of gear. Like, no thanks.
Yeah, I mean, and some of that was, just a little bit of that was alleviated with the whole bolstering mechanic. But I think the people that are kind of caught between not being bolstered because they have enough valor and people that don't have enough valor and that are getting bolstered up, you know, those people right there kind of on the borderline, I think those guys are really going to get kind of shafted here because now they're not going to be nearly as powerful as they were with this next tier of gear, but they're still going to have to pay the price for the next tier up from what they're currently at. You know, so, I mean, all those kind of borderline being bolstered versus not being bolstered people are really going to have their work cut out for them as far as grinding prestige and favor.
Well, I think, too, I mean, I'm actually in agreement with the bump in price and the base cost. And I would actually advocate to not bump the prices later on. And I say that because the big thing people have to remember that a lot of people don't realize because so many people, you know, the PvP crowd is like already rank 40. And they were rank 8 before the transition to the new ranking system, so they haven't leveled up to this. And a lot of people forget that Valor is normalized now. So the very first set of gear you get, you have the maximum amount of Valor possible off of armor at the very first tier, which is huge. The stats in PvP actually aren't as important as that Valor is because anyone with an HK weapon, like in PvP, your weapon is half of your spell power and your ability anyway to kill other people. So it's the Valor that's the most important. So at the lowest rank, I can have, other than Source Machine and things like that, you know, basically the same defensive stats as a rank 40. So, you know, for that to cost so little, I think really frustrates the higher ranked people in that, you know, that plus the bolstering system makes it almost useless to have this armor. And the incremental abilities that you gain by buying higher armor is almost nothing. You're gaining like, it's like, you know, ID to ID relic upgrades, you know, or HK relic to ID upgrades. Now it's like 3 intelligence, 10 crit tops or something like that as you go from piece to piece and you get no valor bumps. So, you know, I think in the beginning it was just really too cheap to get the maximum amount of valor you wanted out of something. And at that point, there's like no reason to PvP again. Like, yeah, you might be 5 to 10% stronger as you go up through your gear. But once you have the base level of valor, there's really no reason to keep grinding. So I think they needed to do something to make that initial step into the PvP world a little bit more of a step rather than just like, you know, here's a free 1,000 valor. Now go and, you know, you're, you know, 60 to, depending on your class and how good you are, you know, 60 to 80% effective as any rank 40 out there. So I think that bothered a little bit of people. So it might be a little bit, it might be good, but, you know, we'll see how it works out in the end.
All right. The other big, not the one other big piece that's coming in 1.9, but the other big PvP piece that's coming in 1.9 is Conquest, right? This is kind of the, this and the new 10-man PvE raid, which we'll get to here in a little bit. Conquest and the new 10-man are kind of the keynote additions in 1.9. Have you guys got a chance to go over to the PTS and check out this new Conquest feature at all?
Yeah, I've been over there and given it a little bit of a whirl. It's kind of hard to tell now because I think the population doing Conquest over there right now is pretty low, and I think it's intended to be much higher. But you know, it's as close to open world PvP as I think Rift is ever going to come. So you know, kudos to their efforts there.
Yeah, like, I've been over there for a couple of their big tests. Everybody has seen it if you've played Rift enough. You know, the big system messages that pop up, you know, please join us. And X amount of minutes and go kill some developers or whatever. You know, but if anybody who is unsure of what this is, basically you get all of Stillmore, right? It's, you kind of get ported into, like a war-fronted version of Stillmore, and there's these crazy amount of objectives and power-ups you can get for your side, and there's three different factions now, right? So instead of just Guardians versus Defiance, it's the three different factions, right? And so you're fighting against not just one other side, but two other sides. And, there's PvP content, there's PvE content, it's a whole zone, like Chris was just saying. You know, I mean, it should be interesting, but guys, my big concern here is this just another typical PvP content, just another Warfront to tide people over until Storm Legion? Or is this the kind of long-term answer that is going to keep the hardcore PvPers around even through the release of AAA titles here in the next 3 or 4 months? Does Conquest have enough longevity to last until, say, Christmas time?
I think it has the potential to. Like, people have always wanted RVR in pretty much every game that allows PvP in any aspect. And I think this is a good step for Rift. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, then I'm sure that, you know, they'll just leave it in the game and then just move on to something else. But I think this has the potential to open up a whole new avenue of PvP content for Tryon in the future, especially with the new expansion coming out, where I'm sure they're going to be upping the ante in all forms of their content. And this is just, like I said, it's just like a foreshadowing of what's going to come. And even I'm kind of interested in it. I haven't actually had a chance to try it out, but I know other games that have had this sort of PvP content, and it's been a lot of fun, just because you're all, it's, you know, the three against three instead of just two sides warring it out. You know, it adds a whole new element, and then the whole, like, PvP or the PvE aspect of, you know, grinding out the different factions and having to choose one and the different gear, and it's interesting for sure.
Well, I think it's good too, because it's going to give you multiple avenues to contribute. You know, there's a crafting way to contribute. You can hold control points. You can, you know, roam around in a band of people just ganking everyone. There's all sorts of multiple methods for victory. And I think that's something they really need. You know, I think you sort of have to compare it to what the Warfronts are like now. I think Conquest is most like an expanded Codex. And people tend in general not to mind Codex when it comes up. You know, it's not like Whitefall. You know, I think everyone at some point in their life or in their Rift life has had a gripe with Whitefall, and a lot of people just hate it. I mean, you can see it, because anytime Whitefall is the daily, it's still a very long queue time, because nobody really likes to do it, because, you know, the success in Whitefall is just predicated on people running around killing other people, ignoring all the objectives until the time runs out and someone has scored 1 point. So it's just like a broken Warfront. But Codex, you know, people still try and be strategic about it. People will do things, you know, there's like multiple strategies to win and things like that. And I think that's what Conquest will bring to the table. And the best part about it is it's a way for people who want to be serious about raiding and do, like, you know, be completionists and quest and, you know, find all of the, you know, do fishing and all this kind of stuff, but don't want to do it in a PvP shard where they're getting ganked every 5 minutes. They can just go into Conquest and, you know, be in open world PvP sort of sliver style and not have it detract from their PvE experience, which is good to separate those two. You know, and it's a lot like Alterac Valley was in WoW when it first came out back in vanilla WoW. Like, Alterac Valley came out, huge open world PvP kind of thing, and guilds would just go in there as a big team and destroy other people, and then, you know, sort of log out of it, and it goes back to the hardcore PvPers, and I think that's a lot of what Conquest will be like.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that, but I know I've mentioned WoW quite a lot on the show, so I was trying not to. But yeah, when it first came out, Alterac Valley was just huge. I mean, I remember people, I would log in, hop into a queue, and then jump into, you know, the battleground or whatever, and I'd go to bed, and then the next morning, like 8 hours later, I'd hop into the same exact battleground, and people would still be trying to finish it. It was just epic.
Yeah, and I think it's just great, because, you know, the persistence of the PvP, I think, will appease a lot of people. If you want to have a straight, you know, big prestige grind or favor grind or something like that, it seems like Conquest might be a way to do it, because it also looks, maybe this is just in the test server, but they've jacked up favor and prestige awards, which is great for people trying to push. So I think it'll get a lot of play, and then you'll sort of see it, you know, wane off, and we'll see how successful it is. You know, I think they were pretty successful introducing Library of the Rune Masters after the fact. That's still a pretty good Warfront. Like I said, other than Whitefall, you know, most of them have been pretty successful, as much as people have, you know, sort of understood what to expect of Rift PvP and not to expect much more. you know, is it going to defeat Guild Wars? Probably not. But I think that's okay, because I think people that want to play Guild Wars and people that want to do that hardcore PvP thing are going to do that anyway, and sort of as a separate part. And I think Rift really needs to focus on raiding, questing, and a connect between casual players and raiding players that isn't predicated on just PvP. I think if they try and play the PvP game, it's going to be very difficult for them to make significant impact in the market without expending a lot of resources that they probably shouldn't.
Yeah, it's. I like that you mentioned that, because while I do think Rift has made some pretty good strides on the PvP front for the players that are looking for that, they did from the very beginning. I want to say one of the developers mentioned that Rift was not out to try to be a PvP game. Like, they were focused on PvE, but they were going to have some PvP, you know, on the side for people that were interested in that. But to see where they've come versus where they started, I think they're doing a pretty good job.
For sure. You know, and like any other feature, I guess it just really kind of comes down to, not if we're talking about Conquest next week or the next month, but here, you know, come, say, middle of September, if we're still talking about how awesome Conquest is, then I think it could be a really, really big success. You know, I mean, obviously it's the whole kind of longevity of everything that lasts. I mean, HK, people are still getting excited about going into HK and getting relics from Achilleos, even after ID has been released. You know, I mean, you still have guilds just pushing in there and just now getting to like top floor. And I think HK has been just an absolute terrific release. And that's what, almost been a year ago now, you know, so I think it'll really, really hinge on how they continue to develop Conquest mode in the next 3, 4, 5 months. And if we're still talking about it, then episode 100 of Farm Status, then I think it'll be a big success. But, you know, you guys, would you give Conquest a thumbs up or a thumb sideways or a thumbs down for the initial 1.9 release of Conquest?
Not being a PvPer myself, I would still give it a thumbs up, just because I'm glad that they're trying something new with the game. And I think it's going to be interesting to see the iterations that they come up with after they get, you know, a lot of several months of feedback and testing that they, you know, from the whole player base, once this actually goes live. So, yeah, I'm going to give it a thumbs up now.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say thumbs up for the effort and the implementation right off the bat, because, you know, like I said, as someone who's really just about raiding and not really into PvP, but doing it just because I really feel like it's something I'm going to need to do to stay competitive, that, you know, I want a solution that allows me to go in there and just grind out favor and things like that and prestige and get up to speed and get my gear. And like, the richness of the gameplay isn't something that's 100% important to me. And given that, I think like Rift has provided us with a pretty good, you know, solution to that in Conquest. So I think it'll be pretty nice. And the graphics in it look pretty awesome. I mean, straight up, I was actually quite surprised. I am continually surprised at the art team, like how they keep cranking it out like that. It's like, you know, if nothing else, just go there to look at the art for maybe half an hour or so, or an hour, and then you can leave and never come back if you don't like it. But I think you'll like it either way.
Yeah.
So I take it that's a big thumbs up from you, Chris.
Yeah, I'd say it definitely thumbs up. And yeah, I mean, it's just kind of amazing what they did with Stillmore, even though, yeah, it's the same old zone, but they have given it quite a facelift.
Yeah, that's definitely 3 thumbs up then. And I'm really interested to see, you know, maybe what the next kind of zone sliver for Conquest is. You know, maybe something going back like a Scarlet Gorge, right? And you have these different kind of caves that you can run around in, and the different kind of height disparities and stuff. And plus, it's a really beautiful zone, I think. Not so good leveling through, but really, really beautiful, you know, so it's really intriguing to see, you know, maybe what the next zone for Conquest is and kind of what they can add or subtract from what the Stillmore Conquest is. So yeah, definitely looking forward to that here in the next couple of days. Barbershop is coming in 1.9. I know that we've talked about this. I think this wasn't a true or false question way, 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 way back in the day. But this is just a nice quality of life change. Basically, you go to the barbershop in either Meridian or Sanctum, and it basically, you click on the little NPC there, and it takes you to the kind of create a character screen that you first did way back in the day when you first created your character. Allows you to adjust the face, eyes, nose, mouth, ears, hair, markings, makeup, the body height, the body color, hair color, everything, except for your class, gender, and race. And I mean, you can change everything. And there was even a couple new hairstyles and a couple new kind of makeup styles added. And it does cost plat, right? I mean, I think I changed around everything a couple times, and it cost me just under 30 plat to have everything changed, a full-on remodel of my character. And but I mean, still, guys, I mean, we've been asking for this for a long time. It's very, very nice quality of life change. What do you guys think about the new barbershop coming in 1.9?
Wait. So you can change your body size and your height, but you can't change your gender?
Correct.
The logic there escapes me.
No, it's perfect. It's like creatine and SlimFast.
I guess. But, yeah, in all seriousness, it's pretty cool. It's a welcome change. Like, I don't foresee myself really using it much because I'm always wearing different hats and stuff, so I never really see my hair. But yeah, it's something that I think they need to have. Like, pretty much, it's like a standard for MMOs now, I think.
Yeah, like, I mean, I used to always run without a visible helmet on my character because, I mean, I used to like, you know, how her hair looked. But then, I mean, I think about 3 months ago, I just got so tired of the same look that I actually clicked on the helmet. I found a really cool helmet, and I've been using that for the last 3 months just so I wouldn't have to stare. Yes, if anybody, I mean, that's the best helmet in the entire game. but just so I wouldn't have to stare at the same, you know, hair swept to the side style that I had been looking at for the previous 3 months, you know. So I think this is a nice change, you know, kind of switch it up, pay a couple plat, and get a nice kind of new look for a month or so.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. Like, I tend to be someone who, like, during character creation gives no care for what I look like, or my
no care.
And I just slam through the options. And then, you know, it turns out, you know, months and months, almost a year later, this is my main character. I've been playing it for a long time. And one day I take off my helmet. And I'm like, man, I am one ugly, ugly person. And I
mean, you do play Abomni.
That's true. Well, not on McCleric. McCleric's an Eth, so. But still, like, the Eth's feet are freakishly large. They're like hobbit feet. Anyway, that's not important. But. Yeah, I mean, like, my mage, I just looked at his face the other day. I'm trying to gear him up to, like, maybe do some alt IDs and things. I looked at his face the other day. He is one of the ugliest characters I've ever seen in this game. I need to change that. And, you know, my prayers have been answered. However,
there you go. See, now you can.
The number of pink mohawks we're going to see is going to skyrocket. We'll see. It's just like when they gave you the ability to take off your wardrobe and everybody was running around in their underwear. It's going to be the same thing. Underwear plus mohawks now.
Oh, jeez.
And then the sparks and the cracks and the ember shoulders, and then that's it.
Yep.
That's your whole outfit.
And then you
get some clerics with the relic book, and it'll be like all, you know, crackly ember up in there.
And you get out the pink frilly mage stuff.
That's true, pink frilly mage stuff. You know what? I'm gonna go in on that next time it drops, just cause it's gonna be horrible for my gearing, but it will not matter. I'm gonna use it anyway.
Let's go ahead and spend 200 DKP just for a costume item.
Dude, aesthetics are always more important than stats.
What are you talking about? There's already costume items that drop an ID because all that cleric stuff with no endurance? LOL?
Ooh.
I use that stuff as costume anyway.
Don't you know what? Don't even get me started on that, because Josh just let me know that he is over 20k self-buffed health without even any sort of consumables. I'm like, really?
Yeah, finally.
He'll still get one-shot by a Tuzial.
Right, kind of a little side story there. I bug Trevor all the time, whether he's at work or at home or whatever, and he's always kind of jealous because clerics are kind of the second highest HP, and I always give him a tough, just always rubbing it in his face about how his rogue tank is always less on the HP, even though he's better geared than me. And so today I send him that in a little message, and he's like, oh, you can just die in a fire. And I was like, aha, I don't care. At least I'll die with 20k health points.
It'll just take you one tick longer to die.
Yes, exactly. All right, the next big thing here in 1.9 is mentoring. I personally am not super excited about that, so you can send all your hate mail to Josh as far as mentoring.
Just shoot it right at him.
Basically, it allows... Shoot it right at me, right in the face. You can set your level to a max 5 levels below what your max level is, right? Kind of confusing. Basically, if you're level 50, you can only set yourself down to level 45. If you're level 30, you can only set yourself down to level 25. So within 5 levels below of what your max level is, unless you're grouped with another character that is more than 5 levels difference. For instance, if I had a level 50 character and Trevor had a level 30 alt, I could then make my level 50 character his same level 30, right? Basically, it allows you to kind of help out friends, guildmates, whatever it is, in their questing, in their grinding, whatever it is. I mean, I'm not really sure what the whole purpose of this is, guys. I mean, maybe if you have a new friend that just joined, or if you're having to help a guildmate who wants to main swap, it just seems like it's really kind of a niche group that's going to be using this a lot. Like, you know, what do you guys think about mentoring in general?
Well, I'd like to point out that I did call this, one of the earlier episodes. I don't remember exactly which one it was, but I did say that this was coming. I knew it. But as far as how it's going to be used, I think that's exactly what they intended it to be used for, is for helping out, you know, friends that are new to the game, or helping out, you know, alts, friends alts or guildmates alts. But the question that I have is how they're going to handle the scaling. Like, does your gear, does it scale with your level, or are you just going to be a level 30 guy walking around and, you know, HK relics or ID relics just completely obliterating everything in the level 30 zones? I mean,
yeah, I mean, you keep your gear and everything, keep your stats, and they just, you know, they scale you down in ability, right? So your abilities just hit for less. They did in the live stream mention that you will be more powerful than a typical person at that level. So you will be, you know, subtly destroying things, but you won't be running around, like, one-shotting everything. You'll still have to put some effort into it, and you still can, you know, die to things out there. So you'll be a little bit more powerful, but that's sort of the point of mentoring, is that, you know, you're a little bit more powerful than everybody else, but, you know, not invincible like you are at your normal level.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting when it comes to open world PvP, cough, cough, you know, considering if that even exists anymore. But like out in, I guess, Shimmer Sands, or still more like when you have mentors, you know, that are running around and just, even if they're even slightly better, you know, geared than people of equivalent levels, that's going to be really weird.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess as I understand it on those PvP worlds, like you can go around and just obliterate one shot marked players in a level one zone. So, I mean, like, or, you know, the equivalent in Rift, but so it might be a little bit better. But yeah, that, I think that'll be like a minority of the population. I think this will be good, because I sort of see it from actually an alternative standpoint, is for whatever reason, I've just been bitten by the completionist bug lately. And it's like these, you know, sort of nerd point, achievement point things are just what I'm all about right now. And this allows me to go back and do quests and be in zones doing lower level quests and getting lower level achievements while gaining full experience, which is just huge. So it's,
yeah,
like,
you don't feel like you're wasting your time.
Exactly, yeah. It's like, okay, yeah, I can go into Silverwood or whatever and just obliterate everything, but I'm not gaining anything from it, and if it takes me half an hour to an hour to find this rare or do this quest or whatever, it's kind of lost time, since all I'm getting out of is the achievement points.
Right, but the only issue there is you cannot manually set yourself to level 20, right, unless you have someone who has a level 20 that you can group with. Right. So, I mean, does this mean people are going to be leveling up alts only to the level 20 to 25 bracket? You know, someone else leveling up from the 25 to 30 bracket, right? That way, if something is happening in a certain zone, you just be like, all right, Fred, go hop on your alt. And then everybody goes and joins him and then sets their like level down to like 30, right? But you can't just hop into Scarlet Gorge, go down, you know, bust yourself down 20 levels and then get full XP there unless you're grouped up with somebody.
Well, you can join a
public, you know, it's
group,
just kind of.
Like, you could just run around and join random public group for people that are questing.
Yeah, I mean, it'll just be intriguing to see how that works, because, I mean, there isn't that many people running around through Droughtlands or through Scarlet Gorge. I mean, there is, I mean, it's not barren by any means, you know, but there isn't a, it's not like launch week, right, where you had 400 people in each of the six, you know, zones all the way up to Stillmore and Shimmer Sand. You know, there's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, yeah, I mean, it might be tough to get down there, and, you know, I'm sure people will do exactly what you said, you know, have, like, you know, a character every five levels in the guild and organize it up like that. But at the same time, like, I think this fits with their theme of you always want to be able to gain ground or, you know, continue progress at level 50, even if you're not doing things that are exclusively available at level 50, right? So that's the great part, is, like, you know, doing all of, that's sort of what Instant Adventure started out as. It's a way to go back to Stillmore once you are already 50 in raid gear to still get something out of it. And I think that's what they want to do here, is, yeah, you're level 50, but you can still go back to the zone and get something out of it. It may not be the easiest thing to do right off the bat, but if you can find a system for it, or, you know, even if you're a lower level character and you want a sort of pseudo power level, right, you have a bunch of level 50s ranking down and helping you out. That's great. So, you know, I just hopefully that continues the theme of, you know, you're 50, but I still want you to be able to experience all aspects of the game without sort of being penalized or wasting your time.
Did they?
Yeah, and another, sorry, go ahead, Trevor.
Did they announce the reason why they're only allowing you to self-cap yourself to, or, you know, self, drop yourself down to only 5 levels? Did they say what the reason was for that?
I haven't seen anything about that, personally.
I mean, because if you can just have a friend just hop on and that has the level that you, you know, desire to be at, like, I mean, that's a loophole in itself. Like, why not just allow you to do it manually to yourself? Like,
don't want you to be able to, like, just go to a level 1 starting zone, rank down, be really powerful, and just blow everything up and, like, you know, farm a bunch of low-level artifacts to sell in auctions or something like that. You know, I think there's maybe some, you know, thoughts of exploits you could have by ranking yourself down and going to certain places to gain experience. I think that's what they want to avoid. They want you to, if you need to go to one of these places or if you have a desire to be at a level 20 area, you're doing something there with someone who's actually level 20. Now, if that's your friend Fred and you're there to, like, cheese it anyway with a bunch of experience, whatever, you know, but at least there's that barrier in which you got to have a Fred. So, you know, maybe there's going to be a bunch of looking for Fred posts on the forums now, you know.
I think we just found the episode. LFF. Just named this episode Looking for Fred.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm going to have, you know, I have 2 accounts. I'm going to get myself, I'm going to sort of self-Fred myself. You know, it's not going to be a problem. But, yeah, I think they're probably a little worried about something like that. And, yeah, I don't know. And maybe they're worried about the PvP thing, though. I mean, that could be a pretty big deal, is that if you just rank yourself down and just run through there in your R40 gear obliterating these poor people on PvP shards, I don't know.
Well, I mean, like you said, they can do that anyway without having to rank themselves down. So, I mean, why not?
Yeah, I mean, I don't play on a PvP shard just because of that. I'm afraid / aggravated of that, and I haven't even experienced it.
Mostly afraid.
Mainly, yeah. In fact, I have to go change my pants.
a couple really kind of nice things, though, is that any kind of zone event reward you would get from these lower zones, right, it is going to get bumped up to what the max level you are at, right? So instead of getting the lowest level of the Source Stone, right? And if you're level 50, you will then get Inscribed Source Stone. And it says that, you know, XP will be comparable to doing other things, you know, so maybe to break the monotony of grinding PA levels on EI, you know, you can go and help your, you know, your level 20 guildmates alt or something and then still get XP, like what Chris was saying. So it could be a nice way to kind of break the PA grinding monotony, doing something else for a little bit, and then going back and getting the achievements, like Chris was saying again, for all the zone events that people may have just blown through, you know, especially in the level 20s and 30s, you know, you're not even thinking about that. You just want to get through Scarlet Gorge, you get through Droughtlands or whatever it is. So that might, you know, be able to take a breath and kind of go back to catch up on some certain things you might have missed the first time around. I think it'll be all right. I think this is really one of those things that really has to kind of play out. And again, just like Conquest, you know, we have to see if we're talking about mentoring here in the next month, you know, episode 20, 25. If mentoring is still on the docket, then I think they've had a great success. If it's kind of gone the way of instant adventures, then, you know, maybe it's not so awesome.
Well, Ember Isle instant adventures are making a comeback, so maybe we'll see, you know, maybe they've taken lessons for that and are sort of translating them into this. We'll have to see.
All right. Our second to last topic here is the cross-server chat that's being introduced, right, based on your region. So North America, Europe, Asia, etc. I haven't seen any, like, details about how they're actually going to do it, but it's basically, if you choose to, everybody's going to be in this huge pool where every single player in North America or every single player in Europe is going to be able to talk to each other. If this includes whispers or, you know, guild recruitment, that has yet to be decided or yet to be found out. But my biggest concern is this just might be just a giant pool for trolling, right? Instead of the typical 10 or 12, 15 trolling people that are constant in level 50 chat in each shard, you know, imagine those 15 people for all 10 shards. I mean, it's just going to be ridiculous as far as trolling, unless there's some kind of you know, mediation in there somewhere, you know, maybe like a Twitter 140 characters or less, you know, persons or whatever it is. But what do you guys think about this new cross-server chat that's coming in 1.9?
Yeah, I'm with you. As soon as I read it, the first thing that popped into my head was tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. So, I mean, it really depends on how they implement it. Like, if you can make it so that you don't auto-join, you know, the global channel or whatever, but they still implement a system where you can send tells to people from other shards, that would be awesome. I totally support that. But as far as having like a general chat that covers, you know, encompasses all of the North American shards, oh god, I don't know about that.
I mean, there's already certain times, especially if you play on like a high pop server, where I mean, not just the trolls, but the guild recruitment messages just get out of control, especially around prime time. You might have 5 or 6 guilds spamming recruitment messages in 50 chat every, you know, 4 or 5 minutes. Well, now imagine this, where you have all 200 guilds in the game that are recruiting, and then having them spam their paragraph long recruitment message. I mean, there's a lot of room for just, you know, a lot of ignores, right? But I think that, like you were mentioning, if there is the ability to chat with friends, cross shard or whatever it is, or bring in, you know, a possible transfer or something, that would be cool. I just think all the coolness of the cross shard chat might just be kind of shadowed by all the retards and all the fools that will hop in there and just troll everything.
Can't be any worse than 50 chat is already. I mean, like, you're just talking about merging all the 50 chats, right? Basically, so it's like, it can't get much worse. I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of a concern because, like, you know, it's the internet, and the more anonymity you have, the worse your manners get. And so, like, if you have anonymity across servers or something that are across shards, because you're never going to have to group with this person or whatever, you know, maybe it gets a little worse, but I don't know. We'll see.
I fear that it's basically bringing the Baron's chat from WoW to Rift. I mean, the mentality of the people that are in those channels is just going to go way, way down.
What do you guys think about maybe, and I know, Trevor, you kind of brought this up pre-show, but kind of how Battle.net, you know, how you can have different friends on and everything. You know, what about maybe being able to have something like that where you can actually add friends from cross-shard, invite them to a group, and then go run 5-mans with, you know, 5 buddies or 4 other people that you're good friends with that all play on different shards or whatever. For instance, Chris plays on a different shard than me and Trevor do, you know, so then being able to send him whispers and, you know, ask him how he's doing and if he's going to show up for this week's farm status or whatever it is, I think that would be excellent. And then being able to actually invite him in and have him mock us in his full ID relic gear, you know, and everything. I think that would be a really, really good idea. That way, you know, you can see when your other friends log on and then invite them to a group and then go do whatever. I mean, you know, I think there's a lot of room to expand and a lot of good possibilities, but if they actually follow through with all those, I guess that's yet to be determined.
Yeah, I think it'll be good, and I mean, I think you painted a really good and fair picture of the interactions that we have on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd invite Chris to my group from another shard, but maybe a Fred or two, that could be a good idea.
All right, so once again, let's see how that works out. So I guess next week we can have an immediate report on the cross-shard chat and how many people you've put on your ignore list within the first 24 hours. All right, so then the next thing, and the last thing I think tonight, is the Primeval Feast. It is the new 10-man with ID-level difficulty that is coming out. It's going to be a step up from ROTP, and obviously a very, very large step up from GP or DH. But I'm trying to kind of word this question to make sense to everybody out there listening. You know, what does this mean for Infernal Dawn? You know, Chris, I think you mentioned that some of the drops in Primeval Feast are better than what's in ID. You know, so, I mean, does that mean that the bosses are necessarily going to be harder? And then, you know, what's kind of like the 1-for-1? You know, if you go 2 of 8 in ID, can you go 2 of 5 in Primeval Feast or whatever? You know, I'm just kind of really curious what the kind of connection between ID and Primeval Feast is as far as boss skills and being able to get in there and get loot from the first 1 or 2 bosses in Primeval Feast if you're 1 or 2 in Infernal Dawn. You know, like, I'm really kind of curious what that connection is there.
Well, I think that, you know, and when I said that, you know, some of the drops are better than ID, I would say, you know, when you compare drop gear and ID to drop gear in the 10-man, yeah, there's pieces in the 10-man for various classes that are better than what you see dropped in ID. Now, again, most of the Mark Relic gear from ID is going to be better than anything you see in the Primeval Feast. There may be a few exceptions to that. But, you know, I think this is sort of an inevitable consequence of the fact that it's just fundamentally easier to run a 10-man than it is a 20-man. Because, you know, Rift has never really been a raiding game that's about strategies. I mean, people post strategies within minutes of killing a boss. So there's no secret to the strategies. It's really all about execution. And the fewer number of players you need to do something, the easier it is to get, you know, that number of players to be competent and execute the strategy. So the 10-man, I think, will be easier than ID. There's going to be a few pieces, you know, that drop there. They're going to really help you out in ID. It'll help guilds that don't have 20 strong players really succeed. So you'll see a lot of like guilds that are just now hitting 5 of 8 and maybe they've carried a few players through ID. They're going to get significantly better because their, you know, dedicated players are going to be able to farm up. I think it's not really going to make a big difference for people that are, you know, 8 of 8, you know, the few guilds that are 8 of 8 and people that have killed Lathas. I don't think it'll make that big of a difference, but I think the main difficulties in this dungeon is just going to be, you know, the sort of how they make it an ID 10 man is it's going to be, you know, somewhat stiff DPS checks, maybe. It's all depending on how it's changed from PTS when it hits live, because a lot of stuff in the PTS just sort of isn't working as intended right now or not turned on. So we'll see how it goes, you know, come live. I don't think it'll be as hard as ROTP was, though, comparatively. Like, you had to be pretty far through HK to really knock out ROTP when it first came out. And I think the relative difficulty between ID and Primeval Feast is a little bit more even. So if you've done 2 to 3 bosses in ID, you'll probably do pretty well in Primeval Feast.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I want to add, like, I mentioned this pre-show, but the one major thing that concerns me is that they don't sort of reverse the, I guess it's a bottleneck, the boss order that they, like they did in ROTP. Like, we discussed, you know, a lot of people still believe that General Silgan is one of the hardest bosses, if not the most difficult, or most difficult boss within Rift right now, just because the mechanics, while they're simple in design, they're really, they don't leave a lot of room for error, especially when you consider, like, how many battle reses you have within a 10-man group, you know, typically. And he's just so much harder than the final boss in ROTP, which doesn't really make sense because it's in a logical progression. You know, the hardest boss should be the Phoenix and not Silgan, since he comes first. But it's just weird. I just hope they don't make that same mistake that they did in ROTP.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to tell right now. Like, you know, I've been on the PTS and run a couple of the bosses, and it's kind of hard to tell who's going to really be the bottleneck. I think the bosses are a lot more even in difficulty than they were in ROTP. So, you know, that's not to say that they're scaled correctly, but I do think they're more even in difficulty relative to each other.
Yeah, all right. So I think that's it for 1.9. Is there anything else here that I might have missed or anything else you just want to get off your chest here before 1.9 drops in the next couple days?
I am still waiting for the impending nerf to Cornered Beast. Just saying.
Yeah, we'll have to see about that one. I'm actually interested to see what changes they make that they haven't announced necessarily for ID right now. Because ID is still, the bosses seem to be changing on a weekly basis. And sometimes for better, sometimes for worse. So it'll be kind of interesting to see if this is the first patch where they're not changing something with ID or not Ninja changing something with ID. There's been talk of a possible introduction of little mini hardbode type things in ID. So we'll see if that's something that comes around. I think the real story of this, yeah, is definitely going to be, you know, the PvP changes. They stated it was a PvP patch, so we'll see how that works out. And I think people will have fun with Primeval Feast, and I think it'll help draw people back into ID raiding that aren't necessarily raiding. And like we mentioned last week, you know, they banked on having a lot of, you know, a certain level of guild moving into ID that just didn't. And now maybe Primeval Feast will draw them back into it, kind of like, you know, DH did, withdrawing people back into Hammernail. So I think, you know, we might see some success there. And hopefully it does that, because it's a really well-designed dungeon. Again, our team did really well. And the boss encounters, we'll see how they go. I still think Tryon is relatively young in their development of their sort of raid theory or whatever. But, you know, design-wise, it's pretty top-notch like everything else. So I hope people enjoy it.
All right. And, I mean, typically, right, this is part of the show where we have a second part of the show, which is just chock full of class changes and potential changes. This one, there's absolutely nothing, right? I think they get one skill from a mage. The chloro tree is getting adjusted a little bit. But there is, I mean, then the four of the other three of the other four changes are all just tooltip updates or changes or whatever it is. You know, I mean, I think this may be the worst patch as far as people expecting class changes and fundamental, you know, changes to both raid composition and individual play within a raid or within PvP or whatever, just because there's nothing like that at all. There's no class changes whatsoever. So I think people right now are have to kind of bite their hats and wait maybe for 1.10 or 1.11 to get, you know, another big batch of class changes, because there's just nothing in 1.9.
Well, I mean, clearly that's because nobody posted on the forums that they threatened to quit if something didn't change for their class. I mean, with the lack of those posts, how do I know I should change something?
He makes a good point.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're just going to hold it over. I mean, like, things are pretty good right now, except for Cough Riftstorm. But other than that...
Cornered Beast.
Cough, Cornered Beast.
Yeah, I guess that's also a situation. But, yeah, I mean, it's just... You know, I think they're sort of sitting on it, and they've already stated, you know, with Storm Legion, they're going to blow the class system open, 10 more levels, more skill points, and another soul. It's like, why make a bunch of adjustments to the soul trees now when you're just going to blast them open? Maybe that means Storm Legion is close. I'm sort of with the majority of people, and I'm thinking it's probably not on the near horizon. There's probably at least another patch or two, but I don't know. You know, we'll see how it goes. I think people are mostly happy with their classes as things go, although, you know, there's a few scaling issues I know people want fixed. But other than that, you know, people seem generally happy, dare I say content.
I'm going to make a prediction here, and I'm just going to say Rift Legion is going to, or Storm Legion is going to come out in November. So we'll see how that works out.
Now we're going to have a whole show here on just Storm Legion speculation. Maybe not next week, because we'll be talking about 1.9 again. As well as some other stuff, but yeah, maybe the week after we can have just a whole show dedicated to Storm Legion speculation.
Particularly the lore, because Trevor's going to be really proud of me. I've been, like, listening to the lore and ID and, like, reading the things. Oh my god, it's just been, like,
uh-oh.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What happened?
I'm all up on it now for some reason. I'm playing this game long enough that eventually it started to filter through and I stopped tuning out all of the dialogues that everybody had. It was good.
Wait, you can read?
Well, I mean, I hire someone to read it to me. I mean, let's not be crazy now.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you got some audiobooks or something.
Yeah, I got some Rift audiobooks.
That's
yeah.
Awesome.
I had it transcribed, and Richard Attenborough reads it to me, like, Planet Earth style.
Nice.
It sounds much more majestic when you have him read it, you know?
That's epic.
I was hoping to get a little impression right there. I guess not.
Oh, maybe I'll work it up and we can put it in a new intro or outro or something.
There you go. And speaking of which, I hope everybody has enjoyed the new intro that came with episode 16. Kind of a nice, fresh take to Farm Status here.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty awesome.
You rejected my beatbox that I sent you, though, that I recorded in my bathroom. Which, I'm not sure why you passed it up, but, you know, it's whatever. You know, people don't know art when they see it the first time, and it's cool.
He's saving it for later.
All right, so we got a couple fan mails. We got an email, and then an iTunes 5-star review. The first email is from a Jennifer. She says, I just found your podcast this week and wanted to drop a line. I haven't listened to all the shows yet, but nice job. I like to talk through the current events and the discussion on how it affects a raid or class. A thought on something you could do to make yourself unique, maybe have a show now and then about a class or dungeon/raid, kind of like an audio forums for someone like me that can't read the forums at work because they are blocked, and your podcast isn't blocked. This might give you a good opportunity to grab some listeners. Anyway, I could see something like that being an added bonus to what you are already doing, and could be something that you would not necessarily have to record it together for discussions, as it could be presented in a report format than in the regular podcast. My point being, you are all doing a good job, and I'm excited to listen to more, assuming my work doesn't ruin it for me. Keep it up. So, Jennifer, thank you very much. And what do you guys think? Maybe we can maybe have a couple guest hosts on and have a kind of a farm status, kind of a sub-episode talking all about cleric tanking or talking about warrior DPS or whatever it is. You know, maybe something like that. What do you guys think?
You're just going to leave out rogues, huh? Okay, that's fine. I see how it is.
how to bard.
Put up motifs, then make sandwich.
Right.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be good. The other thing we need to do is we need to save Jennifer from the sort of Stalinist regime in which she cannot read the Rift forums at work. Like, what is that? I need to read them so I can see all the snarky comments people put up, and then I can write posts in my head, snarky comments back, and then chicken out on posting them on the actual forums. Like, that basically describes my entire workday. And I think Jennifer's missing out.
Really productive there. All right, so maybe that's on the future here. We got an iTunes. There we go. I said it right this time. A 5-star review from a Chuck Toast, who has an awesome iTunes name. He says, great podcast. Listen to them all. Very informative, and they mix up a little bit. Tryon should pay them for their work. They have kept me interested in the game. Keep it up, guys. So to a Chuck Toast out there listening, thank you very much for your iTunes 5-star review.
And Tryon needs to listen to this guy.
Yeah. I'm with Trevor. Listen to this dude. We accept payment in many forms. I accept payment in planar experience crystals.
What about infernal marks? I'll take a couple of infernal marks.
I'll take a couple of pink frilly mage devs.
Yes, those two.
That's true.
All right, guys, that's it. Yeah, I mean, there we go. Episode 17. We did it. We're back. Welcome back.
Do you want to mention the raid block thing?
Yeah, I can. Basically, guys, so I know a lot of people were excited about Raid Lock, which was going to be our Infernal Dawn progression podcast, or part of a podcast. Unfortunately, a lot of the raiders that we had lined up from top-end guilds, either they stopped playing Rift, or they just weren't interested anymore because ID, the reality of ID didn't match up to the anticipation. And then there was that whole kind of in-game top progression guild kind of blowout. And unfortunately, we had a lot of our listeners were part of those major guilds that were later disbanded. So Raid Lock is not going to happen. I'm sorry to announce that. But we will be having some of those kind of people who we had lined up to be interviewed that do still play the game and do still really enjoy Rift. You can look forward to them as guest hosts on future Farm Status episodes. So look forward to that. I personally apologize that Farm Status or that Raid Lock never got off the ground, but you guys can be rest assured that we're going to keep on bringing you high quality shows and a couple really, really quality guest hosts that know what they're talking about in future episodes here at Farm Status. All right, but that's episode 17. We're about an hour in here. So any last words, Chris, Trevor?
Looking for Fred, level 25 PST.
For sure. And looking for someone to level fishing for me because, oh my god, face on keyboard.
What's so bad about it?
I can't do it. It's more boring than real fishing.
It's okay, but it's like when you get to 270 to 300 is like, wow, for real. Although it does make it intense because like you get lazy and misclick that one fish that was going to push you from 275 to 276, you are just like rage facing.
See, gotta be on your toes. Forget the Lathe's mechanics, man. Fishing's where it's at.
Basically, hardest thing in the game, straight up.
Just hire yourself a personal Bear Grylls.
I'm working there on it. There you go. Yeah, just go in there and catch it with his teeth. Not a problem.
All right, you're going to head on over to rift.zam.com. They have the most up-to-date planar attunement calculator, soul tree calculator, and the largest Rift database, including loot drops, quest help, and everything else you need to be your best. That's right, Farm Status is partnered with rift.zam.com, so make sure you head on over there and check them out. If you've got something you'd like to share about the show, feel free to email us at farmstatuspodcast@gmail.com. You can always send us a voicemail or a text message. Our number is 917-830-RIFT. That's 917-830-7438. You can follow us on Twitter. We are at farmstatusRIFT. You can follow Trevor on Twitter. Where are you at, Trevor, again? At ValcavGaming, yes?
Yep, that's me.
All right, so follow him there. You can also follow Trevor's YouTube channel. He puts up a bunch of awesome videos, including a backlog of all the Farm Status episodes. That's at youtube.com/ValcavGaming. Farm Status is on Facebook. That's what I'm looking for. You go to facebook.com/FarmStatus. Our show is on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher is the smarter way to listen to radio. This is episode 17, and remember, guys, be excellent to each other.